Let's take now the Word of God. Let's turn in the Scriptures to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians and chapter 1. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 29. Colossians 1, 1 through 29. Brothers and sisters, hear now the word of our God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world. Also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the body of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, and filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And that is the word of the Lord. Here is Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. It begins in the normal greeting that Paul gives and most apostles give, and then he gives thanks for them to the Lord. You notice verses 3 and 4 why he's giving thanks to God for them. Because of their faith, love, and hope. We often see in other passages, I think Corinthians, faith, hope, and love. Here it's faith, love, and hope. Their faith in Jesus Christ, their love for the saints, and the hope they have in heaven. That is, in being with Jesus forever. And where did their faith and love and hope come from? It came from the preaching of the Scriptures. It came from the preaching of the Gospel found in the Scripture. This Gospel, which was preached to them, has produced fruit in the salvation of more souls. And because the Gospel is producing fruit, just as it is in you today, he tells them that he prays. Because it's producing fruit, he's praying. And he's praying that it would produce more fruit. He prays for their knowledge, that they would grow and walk worthy of the Lord, that they would be strengthened with the power of God. Also that they would be steadfast, patient, so that they will be able to not just give thanks to the Father, but do so joyfully. The rest of the chapter is taken up in summarizing various doctrines which highlight the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We see the doctrine of redemption. We see the forgiveness of sins. All that we have in union with Christ. And who is Christ? He goes into that. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. And we ask then, is he created? Is Jesus created? No, he is not created. Because it says, by him all things were created. All things were created by him. He created everything. And so he cannot be created himself because he created him, everything. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things. He is eternal and he sustains all things. Jesus, verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now, he's the God who reconciles his people to himself through his physical death on the cross, so that you would be holy, so that you would be blameless. And how will that come about? It will come about if you remain steadfast and established firmly in the gospel. You must be sanctified, in other words. And so, beloved, let's continually root ourselves in the gospel daily and often reminding ourselves of it. Those who are true Christians, those who have true faith, you will be sanctified. That's God's promise. And so it is our calling to continually be in the gospel, to continue reminding ourselves of it, of who our Lord is, of who our Savior is, what He's done for us. Done for us, those of us who have believed. That we would produce fruit for His glory. And that is our calling here. Let's pray now. Father, we do, as Paul prayed, we do give thanks for the church. We give thanks for this church that is talked about here, for their history. We also thank you for the church today and how you have began, it seems, a purging work because of our world and affliction and trial and persecution, or at least verbal persecution at the moment in our culture. Father, it seems you are beginning to show those who are true Christians, those who hold on to the gospel, those who hold on to the word as their that which reveals what to believe, to have life, and what duty God requires of us. And yet there are many who are turning from that. And Father, we pray for them that they would, that your Spirit would come and turn them back to you. That you would strengthen the church of Jesus Christ. And yet, Father, we know in times, various times throughout history, there is a need to purge the visible church from those who are false professors and those who are liars and deceivers. And Father, we ask that none here would be purged from us, but that You would bring them in, that You would give faith to those who are of Your elect. We pray for our children, that You would cause them to believe, that they would love You above all things. Father, we pray for our families, our spouses, one another here, that we would believe the gospel, that we would believe Christ, who is the Creator of all things, that through Him and by Him all things came into being, and nothing came into being apart from His hand. And He is the one who sustains all things by the word of His power. And so, Father, we ask that You would sustain us, the congregation, as part of Your church, that You would cause us to love You above all things, that You would cause us to hate sin, hate evil, hate wickedness, hate the ways of the world, and not fall into sin with those sins, those temptations. Father, we ask that You would be our God, that You would rule over us, that You would be on the throne of our hearts, Your word would reign there, that You would put Your word deep within, that we would meditate upon it, that we would believe and live it out. Father, we thank You for Your mercy to us. You're a God who does heal our bodies. You heal our bodies in this life, and most definitely You heal them when You raise our bodies up from the grave. And so whether in this life or the one to come, we praise You that You're the God who heals our bodies. And as we heard, You're the God who heals our souls. And so, Father, we ask that You would heal our souls. There is still sin remaining in all of us here, whether complete darkness or a light has been shown and yet still sin remains. Father, for all of us here, cleanse us of our sin and heal us. Continue doing the healing work by Your Spirit. Father, we've broken Your commandments. We've broken Your law. The law that You have given to us, Your people. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins. Turn us unto You. And proclaim unto us the word, Your word, this day. Give us ears to hear and bless Your people in Christ and for His sake, not because of our own works, but because of Christ and what He has done for us, what He continues to do for us. We pray in His name. Amen.